Sermon tonight, A Call to Maturity. So we'll go ahead and open our Bibles into Hebrews chapter 5. We'll read Hebrews chapter 5, a little bit lengthy, and then a little bit into chapter 6. We'll pray and let you be seated. As Brother Daniel was giving the prayer request for Sister Caitlin, we were talking back there, and you know, all of us need to be asking the Lord and seeking the Lord how our response will be to the things that the pressures of the world and the COVID shots and things like that. And I can just say that whatsoever is not a faith is sin. And so just asking that the Lord would guide each one of us and help us to know exactly what we can do in faith based upon His word. So we know that he's got, this is not something that took him by surprise. So we just want his guidance, his leadership on these things. We're not asking for a flowery bed of ease. Our Lord Jesus was rejected and smitten And to be the kind of bride that we need to be, we have to be the same. We cannot be friends with this world and friends with God at the same time. That's what the scripture says. And so, you know, I don't know. We just don't know. There's so much confusion and everything. And so what we just want is the mind of the Lord. Amen. And I believe that we can have that. And so we're going to read here, Call to Maturity. Paul is speaking, and he says, For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For he himself also is compassed with infirmities. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and overcome such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, Paul goes right out from what we just read into this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of doctrines of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. We want to pray just for a moment. Lord Jesus, as we have all gathered here tonight, I know that your presence is here, and I know that your mind and your heart, your eyes are upon these people here tonight, Lord, that they cannot put forth an effort to be in your house and to seek you, but what, Lord, you return it with magnified fold. And so we believe that tonight, that you want to bless your children as they've gathered here tonight, and Lord, that you just speak to their hearts. And Lord, the only way that could be is that if you would just speak to us, that you would use the faculty of man tonight, our voice and our ears and everything, Lord, to just be given to you, that you could express yourself to these people tonight. We ask, God, that you just do these things, and we pray that you'd go out to those that are listening and will be listening, Lord, that you bless them the same way and gather your people to your word tonight, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And, of course, you can be seated. I want to start out by reading a quote, and it may seem just a little bit strange, and I'll try to explain it as I do. I'll get to the end of the quote, and you'll get what it is I'm wanting you to get from it. This is an invisible union of the bride of Christ, and he's talking about, Brother Brennan's talking about Eve and how that God made her as a byproduct for man. And he said, the man didn't have a wife. The wife and the man was the same thing. And he had the feminine and masculine spirit in himself, talking about Adam. And God had, he had to separate and take a byproduct after the whole creation made. No female created by God in the original creation could do a thing like that, talking about what he did. No female created by God in the original creation could do a thing like that. She was made thus to do it. He knew she would. If he didn't, he wasn't God. But see, the attributes that's in God had to be displayed. And he was to be Savior. And to make everything perfect the way he had it, then there could be nothing lost. In other words, in the original creation, if everything and she had been made there, then that original creation couldn't fall. See? So, and to make everything perfect, like it would be in there in the original, the way he had it, then there could be nothing lost. So he's just trying to get to the point there that she had to be out, not in the original creation, but a byproduct. And so to all that, he says, oh, don't be children, be men and women. We're at the end road. And that's what I wanted you to get out of that. Where Brother Ben was speaking something that he knew would be hard for the people to grasp and to receive. And it is. But he's saying at that, don't be children. Let's be men and women because we're at the end. Amen. And so I kind of just want to spring off of that there. So as he's saying that, Brother Branham was saying this, that speaking about the attributes of God and how that she was made that way, and he's saying, don't be children. Because to be mature, you gotta be mature to receive these things. Right? That's what he's trying to get at there. So in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, we read there, Paul was speaking about the high priest and how that a priest comes into being, that in the natural priesthood, that a man didn't just rise up and say, you know what, I'm going to be a priest. A true minister of the gospel is somebody that is called from of God. Man just doesn't decide, you know what, I think I'll go to school and be a minister. It's not going to work. And so the priesthood was somebody, especially the high priest, was someone who was called of God, like Aaron was. Aaron was chosen. He didn't volunteer for it. He was chosen by God to be the high priest and the priesthood that was set out that way. And so Paul is speaking how that this high priest, he's not a man that is besides himself, but he's called of God, and then he's called for the purpose to be in this, to offer gifts and sacrifices and for man. And he was saying that even though he's that way, he should be able to do it effectively because he himself has his own infirmities. And so therefore, as he's offering for the people, he should be offering for himself because he's a sinner too. Yeah. Right? Talking about the Aaron and the earthly priesthood. But he was going on and he said, but now, so Jesus also glorified not himself. He didn't call himself. It was God who said, this is my son. And I'm calling you, and I'm pleased with you, and you're being called after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus didn't do it himself. He was called of God because he was called to be our high priest. And so, but you know, Jesus didn't have to offer for his own sins like the earthly high priest did. Jesus just simply offered for our sins because he was perfect. And so Paul is speaking here of how the high priest would come into being, how he was called of God, and how Jesus was that. And he goes on to say that this Jesus, he was a priesthood. He was a priest, and he was called after the order of Melchizedek. And so if you remember, Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. He was king of Salem, and that Salem is Jerusalem, the city of peace. And so let me back up here for just a moment. So you realize that before God ever gave the law to Moses, and remember the law is going to arrest you, put you in jail, but it can't get you out of jail. So the commandments, thou shalt not, and all those things, that law was there just simply to let you know you're a sinner. But before that law ever was put in place, God met Abraham and gave to Abraham the covenant that was not on condition. It was unconditional covenant. He just said, Abraham, I have done this. I've blessed you. And we know that covenant that God gave to Abraham supersedes the law. The scripture said in Galatians that he only came along and added the law later just to be a schoolmaster for a while until the fullness could come and Christ could come on the scene, who that covenant of, that was given to Abraham was actually way back there, that would become Jesus Christ after the law and everything. And so he's explaining that, and so I want to show you is that Abraham had a covenant that was not based upon the earthly priesthood of Aaron. It wasn't based upon works and thou shalt not and all these things. It was based on unconditional favor of God, grace of God, being called of God, as God called Abraham. And it was that kind of covenant that you and I have today. And it was that covenant under that that Melchizedek met Abraham. And so Melchizedek came, and, you know, as Brother Bram said, oh, some people said, well, it was just an order, and it was, you know, it was a fictitious or whatever. No, the scripture said he was a man, and he came up there, and he ate, and he gave communion to Abraham and so forth. And so Melchizedek was this king of the city of peace. He was a priest of the Most High God. So being a priest, he was there to make intercession between God and man. He was there to make offerings for man. He was there to be a go-between between man, right? Yep. And the scripture said Melchizedek was without father, without mother, had no beginning of days or ending of life. And he, so as Brother Bram said, and whoever it was is still alive tonight,
right?
Because he had no end. It was the only one that could be. That could be God coming down in a theophany or in a flesh form. And so God came down and acted out in a flesh body, a priesthood, as to be a go-between between himself and man. See? God came down and acted out as a priest between God and man. That's the same thing Jesus did. And so this Melchizedek was eternal, obviously, had no beginning of days, end of life. Without father, without mother. And the scripture said that he was greater than Abraham, greater than the father of faith. We come down here and we think about it, especially the Jewish people, you know, Abraham's our father. And with them, you know, it was our father Abraham. He's the greatest in their genealogy. They look to him because it all started with him, and he's so great. Because remember, they said, are you greater than our Jacob who gave us his well? Because they looked very high upon those that had started the whole thing. And they couldn't look any higher than Abraham unless they were looking to God. But so when the Jewish people would look and say, oh, you know, our father Abraham, and God said, yeah, but this guy that came to Abraham was higher than him.
Yep.
In other words, look beyond man. Don't look at the guy that received the covenant, but look at the one who gave the covenant. Right? Go beyond that. And so he was greater than Abraham. And he came and he served Abraham communion. Now this was before all that stuff that come out with the law and things like that and tithing and all those things. This happened there. And Melchizedek came and served communion to Abraham. And Brother Bram said he served it to his victorious son. When Abraham had come back from a battle, and a victorious battle that God had made him victorious over, and Melchizedek met him while he was on his way back and gave to him communion, bread and wine. And Abraham paid to Melchizedek tithing.
Right?
A tenth of all the spoils. And on you got people come along and say, ah, you know, there's nothing about paying tithes and all that sort of thing. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah.
And Melchizedek received tithes. And listen, Melchizedek was God in a flesh form. Would God in flesh form, why would he need any tithing? Why would he need anything? See, it's not about whether or not the priesthood needs it. It's about doing what God said do, because it's all a program he put in place that he could bless you. And I've said so many times, and this is not a sermon about tithing, but as I've always said, is that look, God gave you the ability to make everything you make. Every bit of it. He gave you that ability. And all he's asking is saying, now if you'll just give me one tenth of your income, of your time, just give me that one bit, I'll take that and I'll roll it back on you and bless you so much that you can't contain it all.
Right.
That's all. It's a ridiculous, you know, to think But that's just how it is. He just says, just this one portion is all I'm asking. I gave you all of it. I gave you all your breath, all your time, and I'm just asking you for this one-tenth, this first fruit of it. A lot of people want to give God the last. Right. Don't give him the last. Give him the first.
Yeah.
The first of your time, the first of your voice, the first of everything. I was listening to a guy a couple of days at work, yesterday I think it was, and he goes to a huge Assembly of God church on the hill. And he said, he's a musician there, and he said, you know, during COVID, when it first hit, we shut down, didn't have evening service on Sunday. And he said, when they finally started having services, he said, you know, us musicians, a bunch of them complaining. Because, you know, he said, we have to go in there real early to practice. They go in, because it's a big music show. They go in there real early, several hours early to practice. And then in the afternoon, they'd have to show up about 4 o'clock in the afternoon for service that night so they could practice their music, get all their whatever they're going to do, like a concert or something, I guess. And he said a lot of people was complaining because they'd go and they would go do things, like go to the zoo and go fishing and stuff like that on Saturday. And then they'd go to church Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoon, they'd spend all their time cleaning their house, washing their clothes, doing all the chores. And, well, if we're having church on Sunday night, then we have to find some other time to do that. You see the problem? Put God first. Put God first in everything. And you'll find out that if you'll give him that little bit, the 90% that's left, he'll make sure it goes further than the 100 if you don't give him the 10.
Yeah.
Right? I've seen it, and I've seen it, and I've seen it. It's one thing about living for a few years. You see some things, and you see the principles of God's Word, and you know how it works, and you see people make decisions against that Word, and you see what happens to them, and sometimes almost immediate, especially in that area of finances and being faithful. Like Brother Graham said, you know, it amazes me, and I don't want to get off on a bunch of rabbit trails, but it amazes me of people who say they're in the message, and you see them constantly doing things absolutely contrary to what we know the Scripture and the message has brought out to us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Brother Ram said, pay your bills.
Right.
If you make an agreement to pay somebody on a certain amount each month, and you can't make that, you go to that person and you talk to them and you arrange it and make it. Because if you don't, you're defrauding them.
Yeah.
You're not going with the agreement. And I've seen it, and I tell people, you've probably heard me maybe, pay your tithes and offerings and pay your bills, and you'll never be financially upside down. You'll never be, you know, you go through trials and things like that. But God has promised in his word to do these things.
Yeah.
And so Melchizedek was greater, and Melchizedek came to Abraham, and Abraham gave him tithes of his spoil and set up a pattern that's still with us today. Now, if you don't want to be blessed, that's between you and God, right? And I know this church is okay in that, but this goes elsewhere, so I'm just telling you, you know. He said, prove me. Prove me and see whether or not. See whether or not I'll pour out a blessing. Matter of fact, he says, that, and this is in Malachi, he says, you've robbed me. And they said, "How? We've robbed you? How did we rob you?" And he said, in tithes and offerings.
That's right.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. See what I mean? God said, you've robbed me. Now, in other words, if you've robbed him, then that 10% probably is his.
Yeah.
And so he's arranged and said, look, I'm giving it all to you, but that part's mine, really. But I'm just going to give you the opportunity to give it back to me willingly. And if you do, I'll pour out a blessing on you. You won't even be able to contain it all. Now, the prosperity people's figured that out. But that works in ways more than just your finances.
That's right.
That works in every aspect of life. And so this great one of Melchizedek, who had no beginning, had no end, was obviously God. This whole priesthood was around that, a being that had no beginning of days, no end of life, a being that was greater than the greatest of all, the father of faith, all the way up to him, one greater than that, right? one who was able to come and be a go-between between God and man, who was able to come and bring to you, in his very coming, is bringing to you peace, because he's the King of peace, right? And he's a priesthood, not just a man priesthood, but a priesthood of God, one established of God, and who could bring communion to Abraham. And the scripture said, and without controversy, no question about it, the lesser was blessed of the better. Right? Lesser, Abraham, was blessed by this one who came. And the scripture said here that Jesus was called after that order. In other words, Jesus was going to be the continuation of what that was. And here's how Brother Branham said it. We never heard no more about Melchizedek because he became Jesus. That Jesus would come and his whole entire ministry would be God in flesh, God coming down and being a go-between between God and man. Yeah. Right? It's kind of hard, as Paul said, it's kind of hard for you to understand this, that God could come down and be his own priesthood, but he did. Not another God, the same God in a different office.
That's right.
Came down and so Jesus would be this priest who would come down as a go-between between God and man. He would be one who was from the eternity, right? He'd be one like, and so he'd be this go-between. He would be the one who would bring peace. He would be the King of Jerusalem, and we are New Jerusalem, so he's our king. He's the king of this city, of the bride of Jesus Christ, right? This is who he was. And he was from eternity, come down, being a go-between, bringing peace and bringing communion. As Brother Bram said, when he gives you communion, he gives you of himself.
Right.
But if he gives you of himself and he is the Word, then you get to be partakers of the Word when he gives you of himself. And this was the kind of ministry that Jesus, the priesthood that he came in, this was the order that he came in. And Paul said to those there, I have a lot I could say about that, but it's hard for me to say it because you're dull of hearing. Because you're babes. He said that to the Hebrews. Well, I thought the Hebrews were the children of Israel. Right? Well, you'd think they'd know. But he said, if you're dull of hearing, and so these things are hard to utter. Because Paul said that when you Hebrews are at a spot where you ought to be able to teach people, you're in a need, you're in a place where you need people to teach you. You need to be taught. When you should be teaching, but you're, because all you can handle is milk. You can't handle the meat of the Word. And so he said that they couldn't digest it, basically. They just couldn't digest it. So here's this concept. Here he wants to tell them how that Jesus was the fulfillment of all that priestly order of Melchizedek. And he says, I'd like to tell you this, but I can't because you're still babies. And he's saying, you know, you ought to be by now. You ought to be now to a place where you can receive this stuff, but you're not because you're still babes in the Word. And so he said that those that are on milk, those that are on milk, those that are babes, those that are not reached maturity, they are unskillful in the word of righteousness.
Right?
Unskillful in the word of righteousness. Like Brother Brandon talking about, you know, a baby trying to put his pajamas on and can't get his arm in there and all that, but mom and dad can come along and just so easily put his garment on him. That when we are unskillful, in other words, unskillful, not able to make the word of righteousness alive and work in our lives like it should. Right? Unskillful in the word of righteousness. So Paul, when he's saying, he said, I'd love to share these things with you. He kind of went through it, and I'd love to, but I can't really share it with you because you're still babes, and we've got to go on to perfection. So he comes into chapter 6 and he said, so let us go on unto perfection. On to eating meat.
Right.
Because, you know, if you even if you're a big, strong, burly man and you're going to go out and work in the heat of the day all day, you know, lifting heavy things and doing things or digging ditches like Brother Matt has to do, I think, probably sometimes. He's shaking his head. You're not going to get very far if you just drink some milk for breakfast. You need something greater than that. And so you see the concept here that God is calling us. Paul was calling the Hebrews there, calling them from this life of perpetual just milk, 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 milk,
yeah,
into meat. Right. And he's saying as long as you're in that situation, you can't handle the deep things of God where the treasures of the great things of God actually exist.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And that's what Paul was trying to say there. And Brother Branham comes along, and that's why I read that quote. He's saying the same things. He's like, look, don't be children anymore. Let's don't choke on the fact that God knew what was going to go on, and he had to make a way for the fall to happen. And so he had to do these things, and he says, let's don't be children. Let's be real men and women, because we're at the end. And I'll tell you that if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take a bride, she's not going to be a baby. She's going to be a full-grown human being, as it were, who's able to handle the meat and the strength of the word, able to perform and be an adult in the kingdom of heaven in those things. So he said, let us go on to perfection. So I said, let us go on to the place where we can eat strong meat, receive these things, and receive an understanding of the mindset of God, of what was in the mind of God. You know, it's in this age that we've been shown what was in God's mind. Amen? So Paul, when he's describing this to the Hebrews, he said, look, you need to come forward. He says, let us go on unto perfection. And he begins to describe this. He said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands and of resurrection of dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. So Paul is speaking to them. He says, we need to go on to perfection. You need to go on to perfection. And so we need to go on to the place where we're not having to keep laying the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, when I say all this, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at this, I'm saying, and this is a real good description of the modern-day Pentecostal movement. And because they never rise up any higher than just what they have. And I'm not saying this to condemn them, I'm not saying this to help you in your experience so that you could say, you know what, God's calling me to a higher level, a level of maturity, where I rise up above just the drinking of milk, being a babe, into the place where I can digest and receive strong meat, understand the deep things of God, not offended by the strong meat of God. And so he's saying, let's not lay the principles of the doctrine of Christ anymore. It ought to be that people are to the place where you don't have to go back and tell them, oh, you know, it's all you got to do is repent. I'm talking to the church, okay? Somebody's been there. I'm not talking about the world, somebody doesn't know. But in the church, it should be that the ministry could get to the place where they don't have to go back and tell them and preach repentance over again, right? Not having to lay that, sit here and labor and preach the doctrine, laying a foundation again of repentance from dead works and things like that. We shouldn't have to be doing that, telling you about how that you should have faith toward God. You should know this, right? Should know that. Of the doctrines of baptism, look at how many people still struggle with baptism.
Right.
Not just the proper formula to do it in. But, you know, it's like, I appreciate the message. Brother Branham was talking about how he had that minister that he ordained him. I forget his name. Brother Daniel would holler it out if he remembers the minister that ordained him in the Missionary Baptist or whatever. The man who he split from because the man wanted him to ordain women preachers. Right? Roy Davis. Now listen, this man wanted Brother Branham to ordain women preachers, and Brother Branham said, I'm not going to do it. And that's when Brother Branham went a different way, to turn in his card. Had to do that because John the Baptist couldn't be in that system. He had to come out and be by himself. So Brother Branham did too. But here's that, and Brother Branham's talking years later, and he's talking about being baptized, and that Roy Davis is the one that baptized him, and he said, and the only time I've been baptized. And I know people that would be baptized by somebody and go on, and if that man messed up, went crossways, did some, then they would feel like they'd have to be rebaptized. Was your faith in the man? Or was it in the Word of God and carrying out the Word of God? And so you see, people still struggle with baptism. And even if they know the right formula, they still come along and say, well, maybe. And I will tell you that if that's bugging you, if you feel like you need to be baptized again, get baptized again. But I'm just saying that when we come into strong meat, these things we don't have to dwell here and keep laying there and just drinking that milk. God is calling us to a place where we can be higher than that. Come into stronger things that can give us greater strengths, greater understandings, and make us to where we are skillful in the word of righteousness, not unskillful in the word of righteousness. The doctrines of baptism, of laying on hands, it's all across Pentecost and in the message that someone, it's like they can't receive faith, they can't have faith enough of themselves unless somebody lays hands on them. And if that's what we need to do, fine. But the call is always to come to maturity, to always come higher. And so, of the resurrection of dead, of eternal judgment, and Paul says, this will we do if God permit. And I'm not trying to say something more, but just to give you an idea there that Paul said he would see through a glass darkly, but there would come a time we'd see face to face. That there probably wasn't much of anybody there in that day that they did go on very far, because it wasn't the day for it. But it is now. It is the time now. That's why Brother Brim said, let's be men and women. We're at the end road. Because at the end, it's time that we be mature. Yeah. God's not going to rapture babies. In Christ. I'm not talking about just the physical. I'm talking about people who's in their experience, their babies. He wants. That's why that he tied himself from the eagles. Because brand new eagle babies right out of the, however they're birthed, eat meat. They don't drink milk. And that's why that's that way. Because God wants you to know that even here at the end time, God's people, even fresh converts, can handle the meat of that word. They will not choke on it.
That's right.
Why? Because they have something inside that's God. Amen. Amen. And so he says, this will we do if God permits. And what I want to tell you is that today God has permitted for us to go beyond those things. To go beyond Pentecost. Right? Remember Brother Graham says that the angel of the Lord said this to him. You can't teach Pentecostal what? Babies, supernatural things. That's from the angel and in the message, and so I can repeat it to you, right? I have authority to do that as a minister. You can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. You can't get them to understand the depth of these things. They're babies. They can't handle the meat of the word because they're Pentecostal babies. How do you know? Stroke them the wrong direction and watch what happens.
That's right.
Right? When you know where you stand, you don't have to get bent out of shape. That's right. And we all have that flesh ability to get all stirred up and irritated and get out of, but we're not called to do that.
Right.
To stand there and even know that they're trying to crucify you and are crucifying you and say, Father, forgive them. Right? We've got to come to this place we realize that no matter what happens out here on this flesh level, out here in the world, that is only squeezing around and bringing the past, the word that lives in our heart.
Yes.
That's all it can do. It Death can come, and all that death is something that God uses a harness to take you and bring in you into His presence. That's all it can be. Amen. So He's calling us out of the Pentecostal, just the Pentecostal baby realm, up into maturity things. And to be mature, we have to eat strong meat. We have to go beyond Pentecost. We have to go on into perfection. Remember, as we've said so many times, when it said in Ephesians, it set the apostles in the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I think if God put them there for the perfecting, then that means God wants to bring them to perfection. And perfection is completion. Right? Not talking about perfection in your flesh, but perfection in the revelation in your heart of who you are in Christ Jesus and who He is. And once that's there, Satan can't do nothing with the rest. Listen, the sin question is gone. It's settled. Now, well, what do I mean by that? When Jesus paid the price on Calvary, all those sins were taken care of. There's a scripture that says all the sins that are past. And then the devil says, see, only those mistakes you did in the past are covered. But John, which is the type of the bride, says, but if we sin, we have an advocate. And if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins. Right? So John said that, and then John also said, but he that's born of God doth not commit sin, cannot sin, for he's born of God. So you realize that that he's speaking there, that there's something down inside you that has never sinned, and that's really you, and the rest of it you have to fight with and deal with, and you confess the sins of that guy, and then he's just and faithful to forgive you of those things, but the real you inside never did it in the first place. That's what the message tells us, see? The real you inside. To come up to into a maturity level to realize that we are who we are and nothing can change that. Not even God, because He can't go back on His own word. That's who we are in Him. And come to the place where we're not offended at His word. You know, the scripture said, I believe in Matthew 24, it's talking about the end time coming, and where Jesus was preaching the seals, and He said, and there are many, many shall be offended. Many will be offended in what? He's not talking about this guy offended that guy. He's talking about that as this word begins to come to pass, and as things becoming happening, that many are going to be offended. Listen, many of us are offended at what's been happening with all this stuff. Yeah. Right? Offended and all that. But we're not offended in His word.
Right.
We're not offended in the fact that God, and you have to look at these things, you know what? He's permitting these things. He's permitting these trials we've had in the last week or two. Almost probably everybody in here going through something. He's permitting that. But all that is just something to mold us and make us. And we have to come from a babe up into the maturity level where we realize that though they put the whip on our back, we're not offended at the Word of God. We're not offended at the age that He's placed us in, the most deceptive age there is. We're not offended at those things. We're not offended at the fact that He made Eve the way He did so that she could fall. We're not offended at that because it's His program, and redemption is in that program. We're not offended in that. We're not offended in the fact that things are happening in such a way that men's hearts are failing for fear for looking at the things. We're not fearful and worried about that. We're lifting up our head and knowing that our redemption draws nigh. Excuse me. We're not offended at the Word of God, and that's where we have to be. So many people get offended. I said something to a guy one time. I said, the Israeli people, that's in the flesh, that's God's chosen people. He took strong offense to that. He said, well, I like to think I'm God's chosen people. See, offended at the Word of God. We should not be offended at the Word of God. Listen, if he says we all have to hang upside down tomorrow, we shouldn't be offended, because redemption lays in what his program and what he permits. Amen. It's there. We just have to see it, see? And so when we grow into maturity level where we can understand that this Jesus was that Melchizedek, and that's right here with us this day for us to see, because Brother Ram said, who is this? Not that, but who is this Melchizedek that's with us today? So if Melchizedek was present today, then he must be still an eternal one. He must still be a priest between God and man. He must have come on the scene to bring peace to us, right? He must be here on the scene to bring peace and to serve communion to us, to come and give part of himself to us, if that's the Melchizedek that's here today. And we have to come to a place where we're not offended in this, and we understand these things, and we receive these things, and receive the full benefit of what it is that God's doing in our day. And Paul said to the Hebrews, I can't even talk to you about it. Well, what about us? There's message churches, highly esteemed, that do not teach the depth of the Word. Churches that all we know to say is God sent a prophet. There's something wrong with that. The depth of the Word is where it's at. We are not mature until we can receive what God is telling us in this Word and say amen to it and not be offended. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, we go through things. I'm not doubting that. We all go through trials. But that's down inside us is to grow into strength and maturity and say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It's what Brother Rem did when he was sitting there. His wife was in the morgue and his baby was sitting there dying with her eyes crossed. And he said that was the hardest time, and Satan jumped up there and tried to tell him, see, didn't you say God was a good God? And started talking to him on the intellectual realm, and Brother just said on the intellectual realm, Satan was right. And just about talked Brother Branham in, he said, I was just about to say, well, if God's going to act like that, I'm not going to serve him. But he said, something come up from way down from the inside of the inside. Brother Branham didn't say it, oh, but another thought came. I got to thinking, and I realized, no, God, no. He said, something came from way down on the inside of the inside. Let me say, it's that place down there where that guy is that's never sinned and can't sin, never will, never has. The part that's part of God and can't die, that's you. From there, he rose up and trumped everything that was in the mind of Brother Branham that Satan was trying to tell him in his mind, and pushed all that to the side. And Brother Branham spoke by that which was down inside him. See, and we're called to a level of maturity where we quit being controlled so much by this outward stuff, and we begin to be controlled strictly by the Word of God and these truths to know who we are. Because I've said many times, when they whipped Jesus and when he was walking up Calvary trying to carry that cross and couldn't hardly do it, I don't think he felt very much like a supernatural being. But he was. And we've got to learn to separate ourselves from the flesh and from what we are inside. Both the sin that's done by it and the trials and tribulations that come to it, and realize that's just what that is. That's just a tool in the hand of God to bring us on our journey. But down inside, we are sons and daughters of God. We have been called to a level of maturity that's never been permitted until this age for all believers. Amen? That's where we're at. Come to that place where we receive the mind of God. Remember how the Gentile kingdoms were shown by the head of gold. Started with the head. Head of gold and silver and brass, iron and brass and so forth. Went from the head all the way down. That was the Gentile kingdoms, right? Nebuchadnezzar was the head, and it wound up into the end time with Rome and the feet. But it wasn't that way with the body of Christ. It started out in the feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel, the glad tidings that bring peace.
Yeah.
That gospel going out from Jerusalem. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it come up through the legs, up through the, I always refer to it like this, the dark ages where they just barely could survive. It's where all your vital organs are. coming all the way up into the arms, the works, Luther and Wesley, works, then coming up from that into Pentecost, the tongue, and then after Pentecost, a prophet, which was a seer, and then after that prophet left the scene, it's the intellect of God. That's where we're at. The revelation of Jesus Christ alive in us. We're beyond those other things. And so many people stuck way back there in early, I'm going to be like the apostles. One guy's like, I'm an apostle. And he flew all the way over to Israel. He's going to tell people over there, and he got sent back. And Brother Matt knows who I'm talking about. People that got, I'm going to do that, or they get stuck in works and all that, or stuck in Pentecost, or God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about the intellect of God, the revelation, the meat of the Word. That's what I'm talking about, makes the difference in a believer today. That's where we need to go, and we need to be there quick. Can't do it yourself, but you can submerge yourself in the Word and the presence of God and trust Him and ask Him to give you that gift to separate from the flesh. And say, you know what, I might be pain on the outside, I might be going through all kinds of trials, but that has nothing to do with my sonship inside. Amen. And the only thing it has to do with it is it's just a tool to perfect that sonship. But no matter what we go through on the outside, that does not question our sonship. Right? Because the sin question was settled. Here's what I'm getting at. When Jesus walked up to Calvary, every sin was paid for. Even the world is covered underneath that blood for right now. It's just that when they go from here, if they're not a Christian, they're in trouble. But he paid the price for all the sins of the world. And every sin that ever was and ever will be was paid for by that blood. Right? And if you look into the description, I've said this before, but if you look at what he says to each church age, and he said, I have somewhat against you. I have somewhat against you. Remember that? I have somewhat against you. What did he say? I have somewhat against you because you drink. Or because you smoke. Because you did this or because you did that. He didn't say none of that. What was the things he addressed? I have somewhat against you because you're letting false teaching move into the church. Because if false teaching moves in and you begin to worship under a false thing, you lose access to that blood that takes it all away. Right. You don't have to get to deal with all that. Just deal with getting the right belief in your heart and it'll take care of the rest. Right. See what I'm saying? That's why he addressed it so much, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants and do all those things. Right? That's what he addressed, because if he can get the right faith in your heart, the right word in your heart to believe, he'll take all that other stuff from you, but you got to be connected to the right thing, the Word of God, and not word from a bygone day, but the living Word of the hour, which happens to be calling you to maturity, not to continue on in something less anymore. So we have to realize who we are and understand that what it means, what comes with that title, the Bride of Jesus Christ. To wear that title of the Bride of Jesus Christ, to know what that means. And that means what I said a while ago. He was smitten and rejected in this world, and so is she. We've got to get to the place where we realize that these hardships that are coming and these things that are unfolding on this world, that's the Word of God coming to pass. And we, as the Bride of Christ, must be outcast from this world. Not that we want to be, and not that we're going to try and go do something to cause it, but when you stand with Christ Jesus, the things they're throwing at Him is going to hit you. You see what I'm saying? Because you're part of Him. You are one with Him. To realize and understand who we are and what it means that she also is rejected, and she also is a smitten masterpiece of God. And she has to be in order to match Him. And you know, Jesus said this. He said, a city that sat on a hill could not be hid. And he said, men's not going to light a candle and then hide it under a bushel. And both of those are talking about the bride of Jesus Christ. But because we are New Jerusalem from above, we're a city. He's the king of it. So we're a city that's got to be set on a hill. In other words, it's going to be viewable. If Christ is really working in your life, people can see it. Because a city on a hill can't be hid. And that's telling you that Christ's work in you, he's going to make sure it's up on a hill. Follow me? And then when you go look at the church ages, there were seven candlesticks, which was seven churches throughout the New Testament period of time, right? And you don't light a candle and then cover it up. Follow me? So I'm just saying this, that God's going to put you on display. If you're the bride of Christ, it's going to be on display. But it's going to be rejected. But it's a worthy thing to suffer persecution. I told Brother Daniel, I don't want to suffer for my failures. If I'm going to suffer in this world, let it be because I am united with Christ. And then I can say, praise God. Praise God. Whatever we go through, praise God. It's for Him. The disciples rejoiced, went out rejoicing because they were found worthy enough to be beat for the name of Jesus Christ. I think we haven't quite got that far, have we? But in reality, if you knew that the whip was on your back for Him, you would rejoice. You knew. How do you know that? When you become mature. Where you're not down there and you're not stuck in the Pentecostal babyish milk things of the world, but you've risen up to the full understanding of the program of God and who you are. Amen. So He's going to show the world her character. Because they're going to see that she's not like them. And Brother Ram said in the God of this evil age, why would God call His people in an evil age? He said that is to prove her, test her, and to show that she's not the kind of woman that Eve was. She's not like Eve. Amen. So that's what it is. We are going to be on display for this world. These things that are happening, everybody's attitude about all this stuff, they're all lining up for judgment. Because they're taking advantage of people, manipulating, controlling people, getting rich off of people, deceiving people. Instead of trying to help people, they're trying to get gain off of it. And everybody is seeing all this, and everybody's taking their opinion and taking their stance on everything, and they're going to be judged by the stance they take on everything they're doing. That's what's going on. But the bride of Christ, where is she supposed to stand in all this? She's supposed to be like the rest of the world. She's supposed to be running and hollering and all that stuff. And we catch ourselves aggravated. But I'm just saying, where should she be? She should be in the maturity of the Word, standing there in unity with Him, knowing that these things are what they are, and they all they are. All that's going to perish. You know, that God's people is just molding us and making us what He wants us to be in this hour. And there is a stance that we need to take that needs to be Him, uniting with Him, that is the proper expression that He wants us to give in this hour. And it'll be the expression of the bride of Christ, Christ in bride form. He takes His bride right out of the midst of an evil age. Amen. Satan went into God's Eden and deceived a woman and caused the fall. Right? Now God has come in to Satan's Eden, not to deceive a woman, but to give her the revelation of who she is, to destroy the whole thing, to destroy Satan's Eden. Amen? See how it's reversed? And that's exactly what's happening. So may the Lord bless you. If the musicians want to come, they can. And we'll just sing a little song here as we get ready to go. Amen? You love Him?
Amen.
All right. Hope and trust and pray that you heard something tonight that is a blessing to you. I hope that it challenges you to live higher. It challenges me every day.
Yes.
Did I fall short? You bet I do. But we still want to live higher. We're going to pray just for a moment. I'd like to sing the song, Can't You See Why I'm Happy? Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this time together around your word. We thank you, Lord, for your people and their dedication and their humility to come and sit and listen to your word, Lord. I know I'm not anything myself. There's many others out there that can speak much better than me. But Lord, I believe that your word comes over this pulpit to your people. It comes from you, Lord. We endeavor nothing in our own but just to be yielded vessels to you. We thank you, Lord, because your mind and your heart and your eye is upon these people right here in this room and those that are part of this fellowship. We thank you for that, Lord, and we're just asking God that you get them to continue to bless them, Lord, in this every which way, but certainly, Lord, to draw them closer to you and bring them to a higher place of maturity in their life. Lord, not to be given to things of the world and the effects of the world and the restrictions it puts on them, but Lord, to believe and live by the revelation of your word in their hearts. We know Satan fights against them for that, but we're asking God that you just hold them up close to you, Lord, and let your word just warm their heart. We ask God that when they're in the midst of battle, Satan just seems so hot and heavy upon them, for God that you would just come and move right in by your Holy Spirit and just move that enemy back out of the way and let them see your word shining. They can make choices to follow you, Lord. It will be choices. There will be times where they have to make a decision. Lord, may they always see you there and make the choice of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, can't you see why I am so happy? I have accepted. You happy?
Amen.
Amen. There are so many things that our hearts could be tied up in and things out in the world that could capture our attention. And I know you have to live, you have to work, you have to do those things. But you know, we might find ourselves in a time where all that has just become so messed up by man that we can't even do that. Where it just boils down to where all we have is the promise of his word to keep us day by day. Amen. Aren't we happy? God has spoken to us, because we could be out there in the world and have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. We could be out there and have never heard of a prophet named William Graham and never heard a message to tell you that Jesus Christ lives in you now. We had never have heard that, and there are people out there that that's been the case. And so it's an honor for us to have heard what we heard and hear what we hear, and see what we see. And we want to wear that, not in arrogance, but in humility, but an honor to be called the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. And just like the story Brother Brown told about the armor meat packing and the little girl there that was rejected by all her rich, fancy sisters, she's standing there with a promise. They made fun of her, laughed at her, and to all things in the natural, it looked like that she was totally, completely out of her mind to think that this boss's son was coming for her. But she said, I believe his promise. And she stood there right to what seemed like the last minute. And it may seem to us like the last minute, but brothers and sisters, he'll be there. He'll be there. Don't worry about the timing. He'll be there. Amen. Just keep holding the flowers of mercy and grace. And he'll show up. Amen. We'll sing this again and you can be dismissed. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted.